There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And we are live in Robertsdale. Robertsdale Power Equipment for their 33rd annual open house. And I would say that, you know, looking at Dwight in there, he's been here for all 33 of them. I don't know if he's listening. I'm trying to see if Dwight's listening, get him in trouble here. Just said, hey, you know, Dwight's probably been here for 33 of the years.
I've been here 27 of them.
27 of them. Yep. It's my buddy Mike Thrower from Husqvarna. So you were, what, when you started, you were 7 years old when you started working?
A little bit older than that.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
It's our annual catch-up, man.
We do it every year.
This is the man. So if y'all remember, longtime listeners of FM Talk 106.5, remember the auto mower?
Yep.
And y'all remember, and we're trying to find it in the archives, the day the auto mower, somebody took it. We've talked about how auto mowers have a GPS system in them, and I had somebody take the auto mower from my front yard.
Mm-hmm.
I had been using y'all's auto mower, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months, mm-hmm. something like that. And somebody decided to abscond with it.
Yep.
And so I went on the hunt with my app that you have with this thing and went and tracked it down.
Chased them down.
And told the story, the help of the Mobile Police Department and myself, with a little Dragnet music in the background,
yep.
And got it. Well, this is the guy, y'all. When you heard that story, this is the guy that started that whole odyssey.
I remember installing that mower in the rain.
Yes.
It was fun.
Yeah, you know, let's install something. We got to do something with electricity. Let's do it in a rainstorm.
Well, the good news now on the auto mowers is we don't have to install that wire anymore. So whether it rains or shine, it makes no difference.
This is the thing. Okay, so if y'all have seen this, I put up the videos in the past there of the auto mower working in the yard. But it did. We had to, back then, we fenced it in by mm-hmm. having a wire that we trenched and buried.
Correct.
That it would sense and say,
right.
Okay, stop.
Like an underground dog fence.
Right.
Yep.
So it'd tell this the parameters of where you're mowing.
Stay here.
And you're saying now you don't have to do that.
No, you don't. Now, actually, as everything else in our life is tied to your cell phone. And the consumer can actually install them now. You can buy the auto mower. You can drive it around your yard with your telephone, set the parameters of where you want it to go.
So you geofence it to where,
yeah,
it's going to be.
You do it with your phone. You drive the mower around where you want it to go. Unlike before, you could have it cut in the backyard some days, have it cut in the front yard. You could have it drive over to your neighbor's yard across the road if you was willing to let it cross the road. It's progressed a lot. It's very, very neat. Unlike before, you can cut in patterns. You can make it look like the golf course if you want to. It's come so far.
So Mike says that because the original calls when I, this all these years ago, when I was in the beta testers here for the mm-hmm. auto mower, I said, Mike, it's doing a great job, but I don't like its cutting pattern. And mm-hmm. you said, what? I said, because it's random.
Yep.
You said, what's random to you? The auto mower knows what it's mm-hmm. doing, but I didn't like, growing up pushing a mower my whole life.
You want it look. It,
you go in this line. And then you turn, and you come back in this line, or you do this route.
We listen to you.
It
does that.
But it was efficient when it was random. It was just, to my human brain, I was like, but you're supposed to do it in a certain pattern.
What's so neat now is you can have it cut north, south today, east, west tomorrow, and then on the next day have it cut diagonal, and then diagonal the next day. It's pretty intense.
So they come a long way.
They've come a very long way.
Because they were really, really cool when I first got into it, but this is a long way.
Yep.
Also, thinking about things you'd have done over the years here at Robertsdale Power Equipment, battery-powered equipment. And
absolutely.
That, it's big, big, big. I get it. And I use a good bit mm-hmm. of it. But you said, hey, we're running these chainsaws. Now, and I run gas Husqvarna chainsaw. But you said, okay, come see this. I think I was telling the story the other day. So we cut some logs you had set back there, cut them with the battery-powered chainsaw.
Yep.
I don't know how long a bar we had on that one, but a good-sized chainsaw.
Yep.
But I kept spying on y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept doing it. It wasn't like you just had that battery hot and I did it. I watched throughout the day.
That's right.
And it kept doing it.
Yep. There's so much going on in the world that requires that we have less emissions. And our friends in California require a whole lot less than we do here in Alabama. So we have to keep up with that because that's a big market for us. And that first saw you run was equivalent to about a 30cc gas saw. We've just developed, and I have it with me here if anybody would like to come by and see it, a 50cc equivalent. So the most popular saw that Husqvarna sells is a 450. It's a 50cc gas saw. Mm-hmm. We now have the equivalent of that in a battery-powered saw, meaning that you can take down very large trees, you can cut up very large trees, etc. It's great for arborists, electric co-ops, people that don't want gas products in their presence. Works amazing. Very powerful. You're not going to sacrifice performance with the battery product. I don't,
because that was a worry in the beginning, right?
Yeah,
I was
absolutely.
Like, Mike, I like this idea, but if I, you know, I got to buck a bunch of law.
There's that product out there too. You know, there's brands that specialize in economy products, or maybe they specialize in hand tools and they also make landscape tools. Those are good products, but they're not going to have the durability and the long life that you'll have with a Husqvarna product like that. It's designed to be used all day, every day.
But the flips, I would argue this too, though, for the person who doesn't use it every day, the person that gets a chainsaw because we had a hurricane or something like the ice or whatever, and like I said, I run a gas one, but if I let it set up, if
that's
somebody
right.
didn't run it a lot, it could be problematic, where the electric one, it's just you put the hot battery in there and you just go to saw.
Exactly. And that's why, for instance, electric co-ops like them so much. It's middle of the night. They don't want to worry about whether it's going to run on gas or not. They want to plug the battery in and go. And the other great thing about the Husqvarna product line, from the very first one we made many, many years ago till today, they all use the same battery. So for that chainsaw that you buy for a hurricane, that product, now you've got a battery that will operate in a blower, it'll operate in a string trimmer, it'll operate in a little mini cultivator for your garden. So you've bought the power source now, and it's so interchangeable with anything you could use to work in your yard. In my yard, we use an auto mower to cut the grass, and we use battery-powered Husqvarna, everything else to do everything else in the yard, whether it be a pole saw or blowing off around the pool.
Yeah, you just measured how important to this whole thing the battery is. That technology has come a long way.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Like how long it holds a charge, how quickly you can charge things.
The durability of it from ours comes from the internal cooling. It has fans to keep them cool when you're operating them and when you're charging them. So it's worth taking a look at. You're buying a battery source. You're buying a fuel source. And then once you've got that, you can just use anything you want to work in your yard, around your yard.
Okay, let's talk about everything else going on. You got deals here, obviously, on this equipment, a whole lot more. Kind of give somebody who's coming out here a little, what's Mike's first things to check out here?
I was talking with a lady a few minutes ago about a zero-turn mower before I came over to talk with you, and she was looking at a mower that's approximately $3,600. That for the next 2 days was $3,300. She asked about a military first responder discount. Husqvarna offers that. Robertsdale Power offers that. But the deals are better than that even. So I told her we'd be glad to sell it to her on that, but she'd be much better off just to take the deal of the day. So quite a bit of savings is throughout the entire product line, whether you're needing a chainsaw, handheld, zero turn, makes no difference.
All right, good stuff. And always good to see you and getting
good
the update on, you know, and one day we'll try the auto mower thing again. Maybe let somebody, one of y'all, come try to steal the auto mower, and we'll track you down.
We'll track them down.
All right, good stuff, Mike. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Mike Thurman with the Husqvarna, and we are live at Robertsdale Power Equipment. Come see us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and live at Robertsdale Power Equipment for their 33rd annual open house. Okay, so going on today until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Tomorrow from 8 to 5 as well. And as you've heard, the factory reps are on hand, just like my buddy Mike Thrower and others here. You got special financing available right now, 0%. I like that number, 0% for qualified buyers. They got the food going as well, as everybody who's come out here to be on the show then goes over and gets a hamburger as well. So come do that same thing. Plus, door prizes. They're going to draw for those door prizes tomorrow, but you can register today and tomorrow for those. And the parts here, I do this each year, so the equipment that I have that I've gotten from Robertsdale Power Equipment over the years, I go in and get the parts for it because every year during this weekend or during these 2 days, 15% discount on parts. Right now, too, as I'm looking at a new blower in there, 10% off two-cycle equipment and a full line of battery-powered equipment as well, as we just were talking about with Mike. Handheld, even push mowers out there that are battery-powered from Steel, Echo, Husqvarna. Plus, you can save $100 to $1,000 off mowers from Skag, Toro, Husqvarna, and Walker mowers. Bobcat equipment for purchase and rental here as well. They got their mechanics on hand that can repair everything that you might have messed up. You know, maybe this is not working after the wintertime. You can bring it in here and they'll fix it as well. But great discounts and obviously feeding you lunch. And you can check out the equipment, what's new for those manufacturers. All the reps got their, they got their like vans and trucks here with all that equipment. So you can see what's brand new. So come check us out today till 5 o'clock or tomorrow from 8 to 5. All right, so let me grab some text here. Oh, gosh, I'm backed up here on the text line at 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Oh, Marty asking about pressure. They do have pressure washers here. They have, I think, Steel and Echo pressure washers in stock right now, Marty, so you can check those out. And guess those are two cycles, so they're going to be 10% off right now. For today and tomorrow during their open house. So check that out. The let's see, Damn Yankee said, is it safe to assume that Congressman Shamari Figures did not stand for the president last night during the State of the Union address? I didn't see it. I don't know. I didn't witness it, so I do not know. I can't. Maybe somebody can answer that. You know, some of the things, like the standing, not standing. To make this argument, too, let's turn it around. And say it was a Democrat president, and they were honoring our military, celebrating our country. I would demand, not just expect, I would demand that Republicans stand up and applaud. So I thought that was really, I mean, listen, if it's a partisan politics thing, I don't expect Democrats to stand up if Trump's talking about this policy or that. I mean, that's, listen, Republicans wouldn't do the other. But when it's something of all of us in our nation, you stand up and you applaud. And you know, I talked to Patrick Jump a little bit about this off the air, and I've got a guest coming up later this hour. I'm probably going to ask him the same thing. These are men that can, you know, have an opinion worth listening to on this. I thought it was, to me, presentation of the Congressional Medal of Honor last night, I thought it was real special. You know, it's they have ceremonies for this that are not State of the Union event, but you know what? You don't have all Americans watching that. Well, unfortunately, you probably don't have all Americans watching State of the Union either. But I thought it was a really touching thing that went on last night. And like you heard Devin report on the WKRG News, there's a connection back here to South Alabama. All right. Of course, we mentioned solar. Erica and I did. So, therefore, lots of solar talk here. B-Dark said, we don't need China-made solar panels. They are toxic materials. We need coal power. It's made in Alabama. So, B-Dark, would you want to ban the solar? Like, that doesn't make sense to me either. Like, I've told you, since I built an off-grid cabin years and years ago, over decades ago, and used solar, really got into it. It's very interesting. What I don't want the government to do, like it did during Democrat administrations, is advantage, put money in, pour money into wind power, pour money into solar. Right, to do these things. I think solar's cool. I don't think the government should be incentivizing it, but I think it's a cool thing. And I would even argue, if you're, you know, seeing things as a true fiscal conservative, if I can spend the money today, and within, depends on the system you build and all that, within 5 to 8 years, recoup that money in power bills I'm not paying, and then going forward, I'm producing electricity without paying a monthly for it. I think it's fantastic. I'm fascinated by solar. Solar has shown itself, I think, to be better than this wind power thing. But I'm talking about solar for individuals. You know, a balkanized solar system. Instead of saying we got, you know, a big solar provider for everybody, what about you do it on your own roof? Do it in your backyard. You make your own choices to do these things. I think it's, you know, a good thing. So, B-Dark, I think solar is great. I just don't want the government, like it did under Biden, you know, to pour money into solar because they're going to try to make that happen. No, let it happen on its own. All right, this is unnamed texter, I think. Said, Sean, mark it down. They will keep on messing with the power company about these rates and have annual reviews. You can just go ahead and put it in stone. Your power bill is going to wind up being higher. Oh, that's Tim. I'm sorry, Tim. Yeah, thank you, Tim. Listen, it's not coming down. I've told you, I mean, not only do I live this like everybody where I live, we'll probably, maybe I'll pull a power bill. It's been a while since I've brought my power bill onto the air for y'all, of what it takes in electricity, what my bill is to produce FM Talk 106.5 every month, what it costs to run the transmitter and the associated equipment at the transmitter site for the station. It would blow y'all away. Most people who aren't in this business, they see it and they say, you got to be kidding me. I'll just tell y'all this. It's a lot. This from IT Jesus said, so in Alabama, if you have a solar farm, you can sell power back to the power company, but if you put solar in your house, you can't sell your power back and you get charged extra for having solar. Seems like hypocrisy. Well, IT Jesus, you're saying exactly what I've said for years, right? It's the same thing for business in Alabama. I mean, go back to Governor Ivey and the closures during COVID. You had a small hardware store, you had to close down. You couldn't be open. If you had a big national chain hardware store, you could be open because you're big enough. And yeah, so and so y'all understand what IT Jesus is talking about. If you do a solar, go all solar on this, but if you're completely off-grid and do solar, Alabama Power doesn't charge you anything because you're not connected to the grid. But if you want to do a hybrid where you get commercial power and also have solar, even if you don't consume any commercial power that month, for example, there's a monthly fee Alabama charges you to be able to, what they say is, hold in reserve power for you should you need it. Just, that's the way it is in our fair state. Lisa, yeah, okay, Lisa, we asked Erica if she knows about the tunnel in Foley. Y'all email her about that. She seemed very interested in that. Let's see, unnamed texters here about Erica's fans are out here. I like her. She's down to earth, a real person. She is indeed. She's a real person. She's pretty cool. And, you know, if you're in all winter Mobile counties and you've got news stories, she's a great person to reach out to. So you go through 1819 News and you get her email address and she's writing about news right down here. Let's see, the is Erica going to be at the boat show? I don't know. You'll ask her. I do not know if she's going to be at the boat show. Supermom says, and who is Ilhan Omar think she is to yell at the President of the United States? That woman doesn't even have four grandparents that live in the United States. She's new here and came in under a false narrative. Her antics and the Somali fraud as a whole is not a good look. Jason said, Sean, was Stephen Miller the designated survivor last night? I don't know who was designated survivor last night. I wouldn't think it'd be Stephen Miller. It'd be... Don't you have to be elected official? Or now you can be cabinet, appointed cabinet, I think. All right. Let's see. This from Thomas said, I think when the president has his State of the Union address, unless you're in the hospital, you should be required to be at the address. Just me. We are paying the ladies and gentlemen for their time. That's Thomas in Irvington. Yeah, should it be required? And then unnamed texter here says, Stockton residents can't tell people what they can and can't do with their land. They don't want someone dictating what they do on their property. Move to a subdivision with rules. All right, coming back, more of Midday Mobile. Candidate Jared Hudson meets all of y'all, well, some of y'all outside the van, and gets on the air and talks with us coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hi, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And we are live at Robertsdale Power Equipment. Be out here. We'll be out here till 2, but the event going on till 5 today and 8 to 5 tomorrow. Right now, I want to check in with the professor, my man Ron, at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and get an update on precious metals. It continues to be going the right way, Ron.
Yes, sir. Gold trading right at $5,200, and silver is over 90. It hit 94 and dropped back down just a smidge, which I like to see. I actually like to see some corrections like we talk about all the time. You don't just want all up and no down. So a lot of activity, a lot of people buying and selling. So it seems like the market confidence and people are coming back. And, I mean, that correction had a lot of people shaken up, but it was long overdue, and people that aren't trading in this metal all the time don't understand. You know, they look at it act the same as a stock market, and it doesn't. Sometimes it can act more like Bitcoin, which can drive you crazy.
No, but you point something out that may be true in many things out there, equities and others, that it is a slow, steady climb, a healthy climb. This idea of, okay, well, it was down a day or two. If you look at just a year's time of what it's grown, the trend has just been on up. I mean, we talked about when people panicked about the silver, like you just said, and then here we are, what, less than 2 weeks later, and it's, what, you said 90-something?
Yeah, 94 and out, so we recovered. Even that's a little bit of a climb, but, I mean, it was kind of slow and steady until this week when the Chinese markets opened up and they start bidding stuff back up, and, of course, when they bid it up, the prices go up, and that's really what happened the first time around. So a lot of people are... And I say people, I mean wholesalers around the country are running out of silver. So hopefully everything will kind of get back to normal where there's not a shortage yet by any way. You know, so many people are selling, still keeping a good supply and for the demand. But still, the dealers are starting to talk about a 2 to 3 week delay to get stuff, which is a good sign to us that, you know, that it may be fewer people are selling and more people are buying again.
Okay, so let me do the flip side here. People buying from you, but if you're talking about demand out there, are y'all buying silver from folks?
Oh, yes, we are. We're buying everything right now. The only thing we're too full up on are 100-ounce bars. Everything else we're open season on.
Okay, well, tell folks how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or just give us a call at the shop at 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean. Have fun.
All right, will do. There's our buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And I had this man on the show with me a couple weeks ago, but now I get to see him in person running for Senate in the state of Alabama, Republican candidate, Jared Hudson. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me, brother.
Thanks for coming out here, and thanks for coming out to, I mean.
Hey, man, you really got it going on in this van, man. I feel like I'm doing another undercover vice and narcotics sting or something.
Right. Be cool. They're right down there around the corner, man. We're just like.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Hiding in plain sight in the radio station van. But, you know, it's fun. You get to do radio, get to look at power equipment.
Yeah, man. Nothing better than this, right?
Not a bad gig if you
can get absolutely.
It.
And supporting the local power store. You know, they got guys in there buying stuff. And, you know, people come down and get something.
Well, if you spend more than 5 minutes in there. So I bought something before I even started the show.
Yeah.
And I'll buy something afterwards.
There you go. That's right. Hey, it's work, so mama can't be too mad at you, right?
That's correct.
That's right.
That's what it's like. Although, you know what? And we're going to get into politics and all this stuff in a second. But if you buy mama a vacuum cleaner. Might get icy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
If mama buys you a piece of power,
a chainsaw or a weed eater or a generator that has some nice echo generators in there,
then you're like, sweet.
That's right. It's funny how that works.
It's like, can you imagine you've got a chainsaw like, well, you expect me to go saw stuff down? No. Yes, I like
that. Yeah, that's actually exactly what I expected. That's what I want to do.
Yes, so thank you for getting that for me. And thanks for coming down. Obviously, you know, you're all over the state, all 67 counties. I know you've spent some time in here. I was talking earlier with my buddy Patrick Jump, you know, from Warrior Legacy Ranch, talk about being with you some earlier. And so you've been kind of doing this neck of the woods down here.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been in Baldwin and Mobile County all day. We did have the privilege of doing a podcast at the at a Republican women's event last night. So it's been awesome being able to get down here to the southern part of Alabama, especially the Mobile and Baldwin County side. My first vacation that I remember as a kid, my granddaddy brought me and my brothers and sister down here to Gulf Shores and then over to the Alabama. We got to see that. I remember, you know, going into Mobile, being able to see some of the old churches and being able to eat there. I remember that as a kid with my grandparents. That's the first vacation that I can remember. I think I was probably 6 years old.
That's a pretty solid Alabama vacation.
Oh, it's the best
the
Alabama
beach
vacation.
And go to the Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely.
Little did they know that all those years later that this man would, as a six-year-old, he's on the USS Alabama. As a grown man, he's with the Navy and back to the same place.
That's right. That's right. Now running for the U.S. Senate, playing that game. But it's been great being able to be here. And here's one of the biggest things that most people don't understand about this area of Alabama. One, you've got Baldwin County with all the tourist attraction. That's one of their big generators, right? You got a ton of tourism coming into Baldwin County, as it should. It's a beautiful area. It's a beautiful place, right? Then you go over to Mobile County, and you look at the port. You look at the Navy shipyard. You look at all of the investments coming. You got Austal. You got Airbus. And one of the things that I told Mayor Spiro when I was with him in his office, this was a couple of weeks ago, stopped by, saw him in his office, and as we're standing there looking out, it reminds me of pictures when I was on the West Coast, on a West Coast SEAL team. We had pictures of San Diego from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and it was just kind of up there. I remember seeing all these pictures. It looks like San Diego in the 70s or 80s. I just remember seeing it in those old pictures.
Right.
You have an unbelievable port town. We have an unbelievable port town right here in the great state of Alabama. And one step further with it that most people don't understand is this is an economic engine for this area and for all of the people in this area.
Yeah, it is, and it also connects, if you talk to the folks at the port, all 67 counties have some sort of, and obviously some might be small in comparison, but anything along the river system, they're connected to this port.
Absolutely.
Whether you got Chicken House going on, you got coal coming out, you got whatever the products are coming out of here.
That's right. And then if you take it, you know, on another, I've been calling it the Southern Shield. And it's not just the Southern Shield of Alabama. It's the Southern Shield of the United States of America. It's the fastest growing port in North America. It's the largest port in the Gulf of America. And if you look at I-10 right now, obviously we need to fix the I-10 belt down here, right? We need to get that bridge fixed and going. And I know they've been working on it for a long time. But one of the biggest things, me coming from the SEAL teams and actually being a combatant, me killing people overseas and being overseas fighting in war, one thing I understand is the national security nexus or the national security aspect of that. We can push for that and get funding hopefully quicker, especially with Senator Britt sitting on appropriations, and say, look, this ain't just an Alabama thing. This bridges every base from Mississippi, southern Mississippi, all the way over to Florida.
Jacksonville to Los Angeles comes through here.
You're exactly right, going across the entire nation. Then if you look at Huntsville down to Mobile, you've got I-65 where it splits off. You've got, 231 and 84 running through Fort Rucker on the one side, Maxwell Air Force Base, the Air Wing in Birmingham, up where I'm from, where 20th Special Forces Group is. We are a national security state. Why would we not want to bring back those dollars that we're sending everywhere else to leering centers in Minnesota or $40 million a week going to the stinking Taliban right here to this great state to make sure that we invest in our infrastructure, but not just the big infrastructure, also some of the smaller infrastructure like some of the projects that Spanish Fort needs, right? Talking with Mayor Bass over there, great dude. They got a great police chief, some awesome city council men on their city council, and they're like, hey, we just need $30 million to deal with this infrastructure issue right here. Why would we not want to bring money back for that? Why not take 1 week of what we're sending the Taliban, send it to Spanish Fort?
Well, yeah, listen, I don't think you're getting any argument on not sending it to Taliban, but you go to Washington, and there's going to be 100 hands out there.
That's right.
Wanting that $30 million for
whatever
their thing is. Not the Taliban, but, you know, whatever their thing is. So you got to... There's going to be some other people. Well, I guess
there is.
Yeah, it's going to be. You know, you got Senator Britt on your side if you're elected, but you got all the rest of the senators that think their states.
That's right. Well, I think the biggest thing for us is the national security nexus, right? This is, it's not just Alabama. It's going to benefit Mississippi, Florida, all the way out, like you said, to L.A., all across the southern part of this nation. And when you go back to why we had an interstate system in the first place, talking about I-65, I-10, it was national security after World War II. We definitely need to bring investment dollars back to this state to make sure that we deal with the infrastructure that's going to impact national security. I'll give you one more thing before I know you want to move on to the next thing, and I don't want to belabor topic.
Maybe not. We'll see.
At an even finer view, meeting with the DA right here in Mobile County, even at a more specific view as opposed to the 30,000-foot national security view, when we get down to it, there's a homeland security issue as well with that port because we're limited on port police. You've got Mobile PD. You've got the sheriff's office there. They're doing a great job, doing the best they can. You've got the prosecutor's office, who's prosecuted more cases than anybody in the state, right?
Yep.
And so as they deal with that, you now have a port where they're dealing with fentanyl coming in. They're dealing with drug trafficking coming through, more so than just the interstate system, but also now a port. When you go up to places up north, like, let's say, New Jersey and New York, right? I've done a lot of training for those PDs up there back when I got out of the SEAL teams, and they have a port authority. We put some of their port authority through training. They have specialized attorneys that are attached to port authority to deal with cases that come in, and they work closely with the feds. We're just doing it as the normal attorney from the state of Alabama.
Jared, I never thought about that because, yeah, you think about New York Port Authority, obviously a lot of that, unfortunately, paid attention to it after 9/11.
That's right.
And I didn't think about that. But growing up here, you know, like I tell folks, I grew up in a place with a battleship in my backyard. I didn't realize everybody didn't have one. I also, on the flip side, never thought about not having a Port Authority here. And never even dawned on me.
And so those are two federal... Yeah. Nexuses, I guess nexuses is a word. Those are two federal shots that we can fire to say, hey, this ain't just about Alabama. Now, here's the benefit. It's putting Alabama first, and it's bringing investment into this state so that we can continue to bolster our tourism in Baldwin County. We can continue to bring in private investment from companies like Airbus or like Austal that are going to want to do things like build ships and all of the different programs that we have going on, increase jobs or bring people over that can then become educated on that program that they have at, let's say, Austal, right? Mm-hmm. They've got the Education Training Center down there. So it's going to bring in more of that. And when it brings in more of that, that benefits the people of the state of Alabama. But how do you get it on the front end fighting these other 100 hands that are out asking for something, or these other 99 hands that are out asking for something? You do it with a national security nexus. You do it with a homeland security nexus. The last thing is we got a Coast Guard, huge Coast Guard contingent right down here in Mobile County.
Most people in the Coast Guard at some point in their career come through Mobile.
Are going to come through here, right? And again, that is a homeland security nexus, right? A lot of those guys are federal agents, or they operate in a federal agent capacity. Me being a homeland security task force officer, dealing with some of that on that end, it's very important that we continue to support those initiatives. And it's happening right here in the great state of Alabama, right here in Mobile County, right here in Baldwin County, impacting everyday life for our folks in South Alabama.
See, and it all started with the vacation down here when you were 6 years old.
When I was a kid, yeah, that's right.
All right, we'll continue the conversation. We'll go to the news here and come back more with Jared Hudson. He is candidate for U.S. Senate for the Republicans, and we'll continue right here from Barbersdale Power Equipment.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And reminder too, today till 5 o'clock, tomorrow from 8 to 5, it's the 33rd annual open house for Barbersdale Power Equipment. Right now, 0% for qualified buyers with your financing, factory reps on hand. We've talked to a few of those. Feeding you here as well. Door prizes can be drawn for those tomorrow, but you can drop your name in today. And this is what I took advantage of, and this is what I was trying to tell Jared to take advantage of too while he's down here. 10% off two-cycle equipment. So right off the board, two-cycle equipment, all that stuff in there from all the different manufacturers, 10% off right now when you go in there, plus full line of battery power equipment as well, and up to $1,000 off mowers from Skag, Toro, Husqvarna, and Walker. Bobcat equipment for purchase and rental as well. And you get 15% off parts today and tomorrow right here at Robertsdale Power Equipment. I love these folks. Come by and see us today or be out here tomorrow. All right, candidate for Senate, U.S. Republican Senate candidate Jared Hudson, our guest, and good to see him in person as he's been down here in our neck of the woods for a couple days now. But yeah, it's it's cliche. I can sit here and say, oh, a lot of windshield time and stuff. Of course it is. I mean, you're running for a statewide office out there, but incorporating, like, what you've obviously consumed some of the issues we have down here.
Yeah.
And understand them. How many of those are in synchronicity with other parts of Alabama, different or adversary? You know what I'm saying? How much of it can you go, all right, because you're a senator, you're the ambassador from Alabama to
the whole state.
The whole state.
Yeah.
You gotta represent all of us.
That's right.
So how much of it do you see, man, this message right here, somebody who's in dang Marshall County and Mobile County, they're on the same page.
Yeah, so, one, we've been to all 67 counties, and we're still going to all counties, so we very well could come and visit some of your listeners. Good. You know, and not even know that we're going to be doing that yet, right? But we've gone to all 67 counties, and the main theme that I've seen across the board is affordability, which I know that as a family man. You know that. That's why you had 10% off on two-cycle here, right? That's a big deal. Raising kids at home and going to the grocery store and come back is like, what did I spend $400 on at Walmart? You know, me and my wife looking at each other.
Yep.
There are families that can't make ends meet. So every single county, that is the same thing. It doesn't matter if it's somebody who works for a small business, somebody owns a small business, somebody who's works for the government, somebody that's running a family farm. Everybody across the board, it's affordability, and it's all brought on by ridiculous Washington policies and increased inflation, increased costs, and they negatively impact our regular everyday life in Alabama. How do you fix affordability? Well, one, we cut these stupid Washington policies that take money out of our pocket. They overregulate us. They underregulate other people. And then you see all of the fraud going on all over this nation, all over the world, where we're sending money, subsidizing things for other folks that we shouldn't be subsidizing. So obviously,
well,
you bring
how did
that,
we get there? That's the thing, you know. I mean, we get there, but
we've gotten there now because we've elected a bunch of bootlickers as officials who go up to serve themselves. They're bought off by special interest, and it's not that they pay them off and they like putting all this money in their account. It's even something dumber than that. They're just buying access. And when they buy access, you lose access as the voter. So the people that you elect to represent you are now representing special interest as opposed to you. And if special interest wants DEI training in Uganda to go on, where do you think, you know, $20 or $30 or $40 million, the $30 million that's needed for an infrastructure project in Spanish Fort goes? Well, it goes to Uganda. It doesn't come here to Alabama. And then what they'll do is they'll scream to the top of their lungs, oh, we can't spend another dollar because we're $39 trillion in debt. The deficit is going to kill our kids. How do you fix the deficit? Stop spending on stupid stuff. And when we know the government's going to spend, make sure they're spending our tax dollars as a senator from Alabama fighting to spend it right here in our state in our infrastructure. And when we don't need to spend it, make sure that we stop taking it from the people and overregulating them. And the last thing, and a buddy of mine texted me, said, hey, it's okay to say, I was at the Point Clear Republican Women the other night. I didn't want to put it out there, but they said, hey, it's okay to give them a shout out because they had me down to do a podcast.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
And as you get, you know, and these talking tours you do running for office too, how many times do you hear something maybe or an angle on something you hadn't heard before?
Oh, every time. Almost every time I go somewhere, I get a different angle because we're all firing at the same cup, the same target, right? Elevating our Christian conservative way of life in Alabama. But the one thing that I get when somebody tells me something from Mobile County versus from Jefferson County, where I'm from, or from all the way in North Alabama, right?
Right.
So, say, Madison County. It's still the same problem, but it's from maybe a little bit of a different end. You asked, you know, is there any adversarial issues? No. Alabama is the same Alabama everywhere you go. Now, we might be in our own little area, and the biggest thing to be a senator from the state of Alabama is to make sure that no area is forgotten,
mm-hmm.
right? And oftentimes people, at least what I've seen in this political world that I'm getting into, people forget that Mobile and Baldwin County are economic generators for this state. And if we have an absolute economic machine churning down here, and we have an economic machine churning in Huntsville, everybody knows Space Command, all that stuff, and what's it going to do to my family who's in the middle in North Jefferson, right? It's going to support my girls and their ability to have good jobs, to build a family right here in our great state and not go anywhere else. I think Mayor Stimson used to say this over Mobile Mobile County that our most valuable asset that we lose are young people.
100%.
And we've got to stop losing them, so we have to continue to generate growth and opportunities for our young people.
Oh, my buddies and so many of their kids end up, I'll tell you where they are. They used to be going to Atlanta. There's a lot of them, Atlanta, Nashville. Some of them go up east, but Atlanta, Nashville, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like, why'd they take that job there? Well, they could. It's a better job. They could do the thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're like.
And it might be the only job.
These are the smartest kids. You know, these are the.
We want to keep them. We don't want brain drain. We want to keep them here.
Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen,
okay,
brother.
More information on your campaign. Where do they go?
HudsonForAlabama.com. Like, share, follow. Check us out. Need your vote on May 19th if you want this grassroots movement to continue. Vote for somebody who's still willing to die for you, not somebody who is going to elevate themselves in Washington.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll do it again tomorrow. Paul Feinbaum all the way next.